At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warm up, lovely low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Gatsuits with myself, Craig Eats Pierce, and now a part of the Decent Family Podcast, and we've got an absolutely tremendous podcast for you as we're going to be continuing our conference previews, as today we're going to be taking a look at the Big South. So joining me in the second segment to take a look at all the rosters and take a look at what we've been seeing with regards to the transfer portal, Brian Geisinger. He does a terrific job being able to take a look at this conference and really all forms of basketball. He covers the Hornets, he covers the ACC, and he also does High Point men's basketball color analysis during the season. So we're going to be chatting with him about all now 10 teams that we've got with regards to Big South, because the two HBCUs that wound up coming in from the MEAC in the past few years in North Carolina, A&T, and Hampton, well, they're now in the Colonial, so we're back to 10 teams out here in the Big South. So we're going to be looking at those with Brian in the second segment. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my projected order finish for the most wonderful Big South. So we are going to have some fun there here in the first segment, like I always do with my conference previews. We're going to be taking a look at the trends. We're going to be taking a look at the styles that we wind up seeing in this conference as well. So we've got you guys covered with regards to all the bases out there in the Big South. And if you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Naming does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And as per usual, when I do wind up doing a conference preview, it means that can hit the news and notes that we wind up getting from college basketball on Wednesday. So I'll be doing Wednesdays and Thursdays news and notes tomorrow. So have no fear there. We've got you guys covered there, and we've got you guys covered with regards to the Big South. So let's get down to business and let's take a look at this conference and what we wound up seeing in the Big South last season. This was an over-conference. And boy, was it an over-conference, headlined by USC Upstate. An Upstate team that in past years, they didn't necessarily do a lot on offense, and then they exploded. They were able to hit a bunch of threes. Didn't necessarily translate to a monster amount of wins in conference. They went 15-17 overall. They were able to have a nice season, in my opinion. 10-6 is what they wound up going in the conference, better than what they had been doing in past seasons, but certainly was a little bit of an explosion for them, because you take a look at what they had done in the pandemic season of the 2020-21 season. They were averaging right in the pocket of about 66 points per game. They averaged more like 71.5 last season. Bookmakers were caught off guard a little bit by this, because if you take a look at the Dave Dickerson era, they had not scored more than 70 points in any of those seasons, and legitimately, it was the first time since they wound up entering into the conference that they wound up averaging more than 70 points per game, so it was intriguing to take a look at them and their little bit of a leap up with regards to offense. And when it came to the Big South in general, it just became a case of which you wound up seeing a lot of these teams play a little bit more harebrained, except for one. Gardner Webb was one of the better defensive teams that you were able to find at all of college basketball. They were within the top 75 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. And Longwood, they were a very, shall we say, steady Eddie team. They were a team that they did a good job of being able to play defense. They were able to put up their points as well. They had a point differential at the end of the year of 9.9, scoring right around 75.5 points per game. 65.5 points per game is what they wound up giving up. And you also wound up seeing a couple slugs out there in this conference as well. But those slugs, they were still able to put the ball in the basket. Campbell, I'm looking at you. They were 348th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, and they legitimately did not allow more than 74 points in a single game last season, but that said, they were able to consistently be able to get into the mid to high 60s because they were a relatively good shooting team in general. They weren't a bad defense. They were good. They weren't a great defense either. They were right around 165th with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis. You also had another slug out there as year in and year out. This is always a team that they wind up playing very slow in Radford. Radford, in terms of your 358 D1 teams, 320th with regards to possessions per game. And we did wind up seeing Winthrop wind up throttling down as well because you did wind up seeing Pat Kelsey. He wound up bolting the program, heading to College of Charleston, and you saw College of Charleston ranking the top five with regards to possessions per game. Winthrop, they went from right around 74 possessions per game to right around 70.8, 145th in all of college basketball, but their efficiency was relatively there, and their defensive efficiency, well, that was not as. You just take a look at the teams out there in the Big South. You wound up having a couple of respectable defenses. I mentioned it with Gardner-Webb. Winthrop was able to do a little bit better on the defensive side of things as well, but I was mentioning it with USC Upstate, the fact that they were able to go out there and can threes. Well, that was terrific. What was not terrific was the defense, is that they were in the bottom 75 with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis, so that wound up causing for a lot of overaction. You took a look at the Blue Hosts of Presbyterian. They were a team that they were just a little bit all over the place out of your 358 D1 teams in all of college basketball. This is a team that, in terms of their points allowed on a per-possession basis, they were clocking in outside the top 200, so that was fascinating to take a look at as well. And you take a look at a team even like a UNC Asheville, a team that, once again, we were expecting them to take strides forward. Once again, they did not. 173rd with points allowed on a per-possession basis, as you actually wound up seeing some very good three-point shooting. We're going to talk about it with Asheville in the second segment and towards the back half of the show as well. But you wound up having a pair of guys in Quay Kimball, along with, I believe it was LJ Thorpe, who both wound up shooting over 50% from three-point range in true road games. So, I mean, these were guys that were seriously able to light it up. And you just take a look at what wound up happening with regards to an against the spread standpoint, because you had two teams that just really ran away with conference last year. Longwood went 15-1 in conference. Winthrop went 14-2. Nobody else went better than 11-6, so you wound up having your big, giant Buster-Rooney of a team, Charleston Southern, one of the worst defenses in all of college basketball, a team in which Murphy's Law hit them. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Flendarius Fleming, that clearly wound up taking a little bit of a toll on them, losing him to Florida, and actually put up some numbers when I was at Florida. But you take a look at what wound up happening with regards to the Big South in terms of it against the spread standpoint, the team that wound up leading the way, it was without question Longwood, 19-10 against the spread. A Longwood team that they were showing signs of improvements in past years, but they really busted through. They were able to do a solid job. Radford with the coaching change away from Mike Jones. They wound up going 9-18 against the spread. And to put this into perspective for Radford, among all your D1 teams, here are the teams that wound up having a worse cover rate than Radford. You did wind up having NC State have a bad year, and Pacific, they went 4-22 against the spread. You're able to throw in there Cal State Bakersfield, Oregon State, Marshall, Miami of Ohio, Lamar, Georgia. That's the end of the list. That's how far down Radford was with regards to just an against the spread standpoint. They were in the bottom 15 of all of college basketball teams in terms of cover rate. You wind up seeing North Carolina A&T and Hampton. They were right around 50-50 teams. Hampton was 12-14 against the spread. North Carolina A&T 15-15 against the spread. We will not have to worry about them since they wound up going elsewhere. But you saw High Point not necessarily be a low point. 19-11 against the spread. They were able to have some guys be able to step up for them. They've got some pretty decent shot blocking over there. So we're going to talk about them in the second segment. And for Winthrop, it was just a case in which they wound up being very overvalued because they did wind up having a little bit of a coaching regime away from Pat Kelsey. And then they wound up picking up steam towards the back half of the season. They went 12-17 overall against the spread. And this despite the fact that they wound up going 5-2 against the spread in their last seven games. And if you want to date it back a little bit further, 8-3 in their last 11, which means that, take a look at the beginning of the season, they wound up starting out, if my math is correct, 4-13 against the spread. They just wound up being a team that was overvalued coming into the season. And then once expectations wound up being tempered, because you did wind up having the loss of Pat Kelsey, and now you've got Mr. Mark Prosser in the fold, things wound up being very profitable for them. You wound up seeing with home court advantage out there in the Big South, it wound up being not very existent other than for High Point and Longwood. Longwood, 9-4 against the spread at home. High Point, 10-4 against the spread. Campbell, though, they go 2-8 against the spread. Carter Webb, 4-8 against the spread. North Carolina A&T at home was 3-6 against the spread. We won't have to worry about them, but Radford was 4-6. Saw a lot of other teams like Charleston Southern, USC Upstate. They were one game above 500 against the spread as a home team, but that certainly was a little bit of an issue for this team. And if you just take a look at expectations for the conference, how they wound up doing with regards to non-conference games against the spread, you did wind up seeing USC Upstate be able to come out, and they were able to make a little bit of a statement towards the beginning part of the season, and it was really haves and have-nots, as High Point, 8-4 against the spread. USC Upstate, UNC Asheville, both went 7-4 against the spread. Gardner-Webb, Longwood, 6-4 against the spread. And then you wound up seeing the Blue Oaks of Presbyterian go 6-5-2 against the spread. But then you wound up seeing Radford, Charleston Southern, Winthrop, the teams that we were expecting a little bit more from and came out at the beginning of the season a little bit flat in the case of Winthrop, go 3-7 against the spread. And for Charleston Southern here, they're just looking for anything at this point. They have now won 3 conference games over the last 2 seasons, so it's going to be very fascinating to be able to take a look at them. And then when it comes to what we wind up seeing in conference with regards to totals as well, because I always think that it's very fascinating because you're able to see things in conference versus out of conference that wind up deviating a little bit, but just 3 teams wind up playing more unders than overs in conference, and it wasn't even a big split. Winthrop had 9 overs and 10 unders. Charleston Southern, Gardner Webb, they both had 11 unders to 9 overs. USC Upstate, 66% of their conference games go over at 12-6. Hampton, 11 out of their 17 conference games go over because they were playing no defense. Once again, team that we don't need to worry about, but even a slower team like a Campbell, they wound up playing 10 overs to 8 unders. You can tell that Radford defense was really giving up points towards the end of the season as well, so it's going to be very fascinating to take a look at this conference. Now a little bit more scaled back, we're going to have 10 teams in the conference, and breaking them all down with me next, it is going to be Brian Geisinger. He does a great job as the High Point color analyst during the season, also covers the game of basketball, taking a look at the Charlotte Hornets and the ACC. So the man does 3 forms, really, of college basketball. He's going to be joining me next, taking a look at all these teams out there in the Big South and the rosters to come for this season. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast, and it is the Big South Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eve Spears, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And great to have on this guest as we're taking a look at the Big South for the upcoming season. And Brian Geisinger does a tremendous job of really looking at all forms of the game of basketball. He does a lot of NBA draft and Hornets stuff with the BuzzBeat podcast. He takes a look at the ACC for ACC Sports. And the reason why we've got him on this podcast today is because he has done a great job in the past taking a look at High Points men's basketball as a color analyst. He's out there in the state of North Carolina taking a look at all things college basketball. And to be able to follow Brian on Twitter, that is at bguys_bird. That is B-G-E-I-S and then an underscore and then the word bird all together. And Brian, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
It is great to have you aboard. And Brian, it has been a very interesting Big South the last few years. As we know, the two teams that wanted coming in from the MEAC in last season, they are now out of the fold. But back in the fold is the team that wanted making the NCAA tournament in Longwood. We did wind up seeing a little bit of movement with regards to the team in the offseason. But Isaiah Wilkins, one of the main cogs from a team that really lit it up from three-point range, he is going to be back in the fold, no question. It is going to be a bunch of which they were dealt a few blows during the offseason. But with that said, even though you do wind up losing a guy in Justin Hill who wound up being able to lead the team in scoring, I think that it's still going to be a very solid year for Longwood.
Yeah, Justin Hill's a tough loss. I mean, he was awesome sophomore season for him a year ago. Led the team in usage, led the team in assist rate, shot 36% from deep. I mean, almost 3% steal rate too. He had a really, really nice season. Drew a lot of fouls. Just solid all around. And yeah, it seems like a pretty good pickup for Georgia. We'll see how he adjusts. But, you know, enough stuff coming back, I think, to feel, you know, relatively good about this team going forward. You sort of mentioned how they shot the lights out from deep last season. I'll be curious to see if there is like a little regression there. Do you know what I mean? In part because the roster changes over, but also like, look, 3-point percentage, there can be some variance with that from year to year. They were above 38% last season. I mean, top 10 nationally, but they got to the free throw line a ton. They pounded the offensive glass. They were top 50 in both those metrics too. This was a really, really solid team. And I think to be able to sort of like rip the conference away from the vice grip that Winthrop had added in the last couple of years was really impressive work from Griff Aldrich.
Yep. And you mentioned it with Winthrop. And by the way, we'll get into some other teams that shot it very well from three, as you had a lot of those teams out there in the Big South last season. But with Winthrop, very impressed by what they're bringing in the transfer portal. Kaysen Harrison, he had a rough year last year at Lamar, but two seasons ago, 48% three-point shooter. He comes into the fold. They bring in a little bit of a cast off from Richmond and Isaiah Wilson. That should help flow the ball a little bit. With Winthrop, they also bring in Howard Fleming Jr. And this is a bunch that they do wind up losing DJ Burns. That is a big loss for this team. With that said, DJ Burns was a guy that could never wind up really giving you more than 25 minutes per game because I need to call it what it is. He just didn't wind up having the world's greatest conditioning in the world. So yeah. That wound up hurting them a little bit. But you bring back Michael Onuma. This is going to be year number two under the Mark Prosser sort of system. And I felt like they really got better as the season went along. And I think that Winthrop, much like they were last season, last year they were second. I think that they're still going to be towards the top of this conference.
Definitely. It would be no surprise to see them win it. You mentioned DJ Burns. You know, that's a sizable loss. And I live here in Raleigh. I went to NC State. I covered the ACC. I think there's some both intrigue and angst amongst NC State fans with the addition of Burns. So I'll be curious to see how that works out. He does not fit the sort of like traditional run, jump, you know, pick and roll, dive center that you usually see under Kevin Keats. So I will be curious to see if they just give him 18 minutes a game and try to let him go wild in the post with Tre'Quavion Smith floating around the perimeter. But yeah, Winthrop, they were still really good this past season. Not as fast as they had been the last couple of years. And even though Mark Prosser still used the bench a ton, it was not the sort of, you know, five on, five off hockey substitutions patterns that we'd seen the previous few seasons under Pat Kelsey. And like, that's just going to happen. Like, you change a coach, but also you lose someone like Chandler Vodrin to the professional ranks, and like, yeah, you're not going to play as fast. You're not going to be probably as dynamic offensively. Outside of Burns, you know, they still lost a couple other guys to the portal. Josh Corbin, who's a good shooter. I know he struggled some last season, but also losing Russell Jones Jr. to Western Carolina, where he'll play for Justin Gray now. But still some familiar names coming back too, right? Like Kelton Telford, one of the best interior finishers in the Big South. You know, a guy that could give you a double-double any night as well. And a guy like Chase Claxton, that it feels like he's been around for, I don't even know how long, years now, but just one of the better athletes in the Big South. Long, can play above the rim, skinny, obviously, but it's just always, I thought, been one of kind of like the better front court wings in the Big South Conference. So I think, and you mentioned the guys they're bringing in the portal, you know, including a guy like Howard Fleming. Like, I like this roster. I think it looks really good. I actually think some of like the projections are a little down on them, and I'm actually a little more bullish on Winthrop, and I definitely trust, like, you know, Mark Prosser, both as a coach and as like a program builder.
Yeah, and he did a good job of being able to bring with him a few guys from Western Carolina as well. Then I think that they're going to have a big year this year as well. As we do, Brian Geisinger does a terrific job following all forms of basketball. Has done a lot with regards to being able to cover the Big South in recent years with doing High Point men's basketball games. He has joined me on the podcast and just mentioned High Point. How about if we wind up getting to them? Because, I mean, of all the losses in the transfer portal, this might be the most meaningful to their respective team. And John Michael Wright, just a guy that he wound up doing everything for them. 18.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3.5 assists. He just did it all. But with that said, they wound up seeing someone step up last year in Zach Austin, able to give them good versatility, over 2 blocks per contest. Great defender, 1.3 steals per game, 8 boards, 14.5 points per game. He winds up coming into the fold, and they bring in someone in Abdul Fiam. He winds up coming in from Minnesota, guy that wound up being a little bit of a cast off, but has that Power 5 experience. I know that the coaching staff has spoken very highly of him, and on top of that, now you've got a full year of G.G. Smith after he wound up actually stepping in towards the back half of the season for Tubby Smith. So a lot going on with High Point, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see how it winds up all coming together.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed on a couple big points there. Like, I thought G.G. Smith did a nice job filling in for his dad, Tubby, down the stretch. And I actually, it seemed like the players really responded to G.G. down the stretch too. Obviously, even if it's father's son, it still is a bit of just like a culture shift, right? Just given the age difference. And you mentioned, let's start with the good. Like you mentioned, Zach Austin, what a season. You know, I really thought they were going to miss, after losing Idell Elmore, who was really solid for them as a grad transfer in the 2020-2021 season, I thought they would really miss his athleticism in the front court. You know, Zach Austin comes in, and he was just incredible last season. Led the team in dunks, more than double, 27 dunks last season. Alex Holt was second with 11, but shot 63% at the rim. Monster on the defensive glass. Blocked a ton of shots, too. Almost 7% block rate. Seems like a guy that I bet can get to the line more frequently next year, too. Like, just given his athleticism and his power and his, like, his frame, he is kind of a special athlete. And my guess is if he has another season like he did a year ago, that, like, you know, we might not see Zach Austin finish his career in the Big South Conference. Now, let's use that to flip over to John Michael Wright. I've covered John Michael 3 seasons he was at High Point. You know, he came in from day one and was just an absolute stud his freshman season. And the guy just got, I mean, I know he struggled a little bit last season with the shot, but just a terrific player that got more athletic during his career. I'm fascinated to see what he'll look like in the Big 12 in a Power 5 conference. Because since 2019-2020, I've thought, this guy's probably going to get a shot to play at a higher level, you know what I mean, in terms of the college ranks. But when things break down, can create a jump shot, or can create a shot with the pick and roll, isolation. But is the guy that you can put in a system and take him off the ball, and he'll happily run off screens. He's like a really, historically, has been just very good, you know, coming off down screens, looking for jumpers. And just given how much teams were able to roll coverages against him the last couple of years, I think it's pretty impressive that he was able to put up the numbers that he did. And with, like, decent efficiency, again, I know he struggled a little bit last year. Elsewhere with High Point, I think Jaden House is, like, has the chance to be a stud. You could kind of see it 2 seasons ago as a freshman, like, when he was kind of on the fringes of the rotation. But he really came on last year, and I think he's one of those guys that a lot of the perimeter production that's lost with JMW going to OK State, well, Jaden House is there to pick that up. Last season was kind of a lost year for Emile Flowers, but if you remember 2 years ago, as a true freshman, you know, wasn't super efficient offensively, but showcased himself as a pretty legitimate perimeter athlete in the Big South. Had some of the best dunks in college hoops 2 seasons ago. Emmanuel Zunibor is a guy that came in with JMW, front court player, gives them just do all the nasty work, has a little mid-range game that he can face up at the elbow and stuff like that. But just does all the dirty work for this team and is a guy that's also gotten a lot better on his own too. So I like the returning core. Like, I really like House. I really like Austin. Flowers, I'm intrigued by. Alex Holt and Azunabar, that's a solid center platoon. So there's kind of a lot to like with this High Point roster. You know, I don't know if they're like the favorite to win the league, but my guess is they look like a top four, at least on paper. They look like a top three or four team, I think, pretty safely.
Yep, I think that it's going to be a fascinating year for High Point, because now that you've got another full year for G.G. Smith, who he wound up getting a few years of experience prior to him heading to High Point as well. I believe that he was at Loyola Maryland. He should be able to come in, do a relatively solid job for what is going to be a little bit of a new-look High Point team. But Mr. Austin, I think he's going to be in for a big year, as we do. Brian Geisinger joining me right here on the podcast. And I think it's going to be fascinating to take a look at Gardner Webb this season, because in a Big South that we've seen a lot of teams really embrace offense, this team, they're a little bit more of a throwback. Very good defensive team this year, in the top 10 in all of college basketball in three-point shooting defense. Now, they lose to Marion Williams, and I think you're seeing a theme here. A lot of these teams, they do wind up losing their top scorers year in, year out. That is going to wind up hurting them, and you've seen quite a few losses with the team in general, but they do wind up bringing back their main big men in Kareem Reed along Ludovic Vasile. He wound up being able to give the team a block and a half per contest. Both of these guys, and Reed and Dufiel, were both able to give you right around a block and a half per game. So I think that that's going to be big for Gardner Webb. But I do think that DeMaureen Williams going to be out of the fold hurts them quite a bit. But that said, Tim Kraft has done a great job of being able to set up this defense and making it very stout.
Tim Kraft is like such a solid coach. There's some really good coaches in the Big South. And like, I mean, Kraft is as good as probably any of them. Look, it's tough. You mentioned losing Williams to Texas Tech. You know, that's tough. And by the way, Texas Tech, they've raided. The Red Raiders have, in fact, raided the Big South a couple of times now. Davian Warren had a really nice season for Texas Tech this year after coming over from Hampton. You lose Lance Terry to Georgia Tech, like a, you know, a big-time scorer and shooter out of the backcourt. Lose Jordan Sears. So, like, you know, it's kind of a lot headed out the door. But Tim Kraft is a really, really good coach. I don't know. Like, I just think there's enough stuff returning for Gardner Webb. You think a guy like, you know, Anthony Seldon can give you some scoring, shot the ball nice last season, just a little under what, you know, 37-38%. And I'll be curious to see what a guy like Kareem Reed does this season, one of the better shot blockers in the league, and also like a solid interior finisher, shot 60% at the rim this year, 9% block rate, also really solid. So some good pieces in place, and for a guy like Reed that can kind of anchor you know, a stout defensive team like Gardner Webb, that's a big deal. So, yeah, I like what the Bulldogs have in store. They had a great season last year. I mean, going 11-5 in conference play is really, really solid. And, like, you know, you lose to Winthrop in the conference tournament. That game was pretty close, too. So, solid nucleus, really, truly, like, one of the better defensive teams in the country. You mentioned what they held teams to in terms of three-point percentage. And again, there can be, like, a little randomness in there, and they gave up a lot of threes, you know what I mean? Over 41% of opponent field goal attempts last season were of the three-point variety, but teams made only 28.5% of that. So maybe a little bit of luck baked in there, but they did a nice job, you know, top 20 nationally in block rate. Obviously, Reed played a big role there, and top 20 nationally in defensive effective field goal percentage. So they were excellent on defense, even if they did get, you know, maybe a little bit of luck in terms of three-point percentage defense.
They were able to do an amazing job of being able to guard the three, and we saw this team bust out with regards to their three-point shooting percentage. That would be USC Upstate. All of a sudden, they wound up going 10-6 in conference last year. Their offense looked as good as it's looked ever since they wound up joining the Big South from the Atlantic Sun a few years ago, but they are going to be taking a couple losses. Bryson Mazzone, their top scorer, is out of the fold. But I take a look at Jordan Ganey. As a freshman last year, he wound up putting up 14 points per contest. He wound up shooting 49.5% from three, over 50% on the road. That's a guy that you can build around right there. Now, they're also going to be losing Dalvin White. That's going to be hurting them a little bit. Josh Aldrich is going to be out of the fold. But when you've got a guy in Jordan Ganey that you're able to build around, that's going to be big. I would argue that they're going to need a little bit more down low, but I think that Floyd Riddio, who did not wind up seeing a lot of playing time last season after coming in from South Carolina State, he's going to be able to give you a little bit. And if this team could just find a little bit of rebounding, they've got a shot to be towards the top of the conference.
Yeah, you know, losing Aldridge is a little tough. Solid for them in the front court last season, got to the line a lot. And Mazzone's one of those guys that even when Upstate was like pretty bad a couple of seasons ago, you know, I'm thinking back to the 2019-2020 season, which Dave Dickerson, their head coach, I think that was his second season. I saw them play Louisville early that season, and Mazzone was really solid in that game, which is like what had been historically has been a very nice spot-up shooter for this roster and was just under 39% last season. But you mentioned the headliner in this. Like, Jordan Ganey had just incredible season shooting the basketball last season. Top five nationally in three-point percentage, just under 50%. Like, I mean, look, he's probably not going to shoot 50% on threes again this season. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just there's probably some regression there. But there are some other positive indicators. Shot 81% from the line this season. So, Ken, pretty obvious that, like, he's a skilled player, can create for others a little bit as well. And he and Austin, I mean, they were the two best freshmen in the league this past season. Maybe I'm forgetting someone, but I thought those two guys were sort of like head and shoulders above all the other rookies in the league. So tough to lose Aldridge. Losing Mazzone, he's going to play for Patrick Ewing at Georgetown next season, which is pretty cool. But getting to bring back a guy like Justin Ganey is huge because he had kind of like a historically good shooting season for Upstate. It was just cool to see, like, the 2020-2021 COVID season was rough for this team. Dave Dickerson had to spend it away from the team. I could be wrong about this, so forgive me, but I think someone in his family was perhaps like immunocompromised with COVID.
Yep,
so like
that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So he couldn't be like on the road or around the team. I believe it was his wife. And again, forgive me if I have that wrong.
It was his wife. Yep.
So again, thank you for having that. And they only won five games, so it was tough. And that's why it was great to see them bounce back. You know, they triple their win total, you know, and get a breakout performance from a guy like Jordan Ganey and get a guy like Mazzone to have another solid season and now gets to play in the Big East next season. So exciting times. They look good on paper. Again, I think another team that projects as like a top four, top five team in this in the Big South pretty safely.
Yep. I think that their 3-point shooting percentage, that was big once again. Big question is, can they find anyone to be able to hit the glass? If they can, you're looking at something here with USC Upstate. As we do a Brian Geisinger, he's a man that has spent a lot of time covering the Big South in recent years, does a great job over there at ACC Network, the Busby podcast as well. He's joining me on the podcast, and we've got to take a look at the biggest transfer in this conference. Radford has it, and Brian Antoine, a former top 20 recruit going to the Big South. We do not wind up seeing this like ever. And this is for a Radford team that they didn't have anyone that exceeded more than 10 points per game last season. They did wind up taking a few losses out there in the transfer portal. Drayvon Magum, he is now out of the fold for the team. So that wind up hurting them a little bit. And they wind up losing a few other little ancillary pieces as well. But bringing in Brian Antoine, that completely changes the look of this program that is now going to be in year number two under Darius Nicholas. Didn't wind up going great in year number one. Hard to be able to replace Mike Jones. Bringing in Brian Antoine, I've got to think is going to change the entire complexion of how Radford is going to look with him being so ball dominant.
Yeah, I mean, it's the inverse of what we're used to seeing, right? Which is like, you know, the best, you know, underclassmen or grad transfers going up Mazzone that's going to go to Georgetown, or like Davion Warren that went to Texas Tech, or Maceo Teague that went from Asheville to Baylor and won a title, Adam Flagler that went from Presbyterian and then ends up at the title team at Baylor as well, and on there's plenty of names that we could run through. So it's kind of interesting to see the inverse of it. Let's just hope that he can stay healthy, that Brian Antoine can stay healthy. I mean, that was sort of like the one thing. He could never like stay on the court or get consistent minutes in the rotation with Villanova. It's been tough. Wanted to see it from him. And I think all of that happening at a time where several of these seasons have been completely disrupted or plagued by the pandemic, you know, that probably hasn't made matters easier either. But certainly, like, he is the highest ranked recruit that's going to play in the league, and a guy that at one point, you know, had legitimate NBA aspirations. That's a big get for someone like Darius Nicholas to bring into the fold. I know this past season did not go well for Radford, but I thought even in some of the non-con games, like, I saw them against Virginia. I saw them against Virginia Tech very early in the season, and they got blown out in both those games. But I did think they, like, at times looked pretty frisky, at least in the UVA game. So I think Nicholas is, like, an interesting young coach. Radford is a team I'm kind of curious to keep an eye on. I just think they've had so much turnover the last couple of seasons. You mentioned Mike Jones, but also like two seasons ago, having to change the backcourt over from, you know, the Travis Fields and Carly Jones show. And just, again, there's been, I think all of that type of turnover is going to take some time. And so let's see what Darius Nichols is made of. They also bring in, I always botch this guy's first name. I covered him in the ACC, but Izikudu is his last name. Point guard from Pitt, was like a walk-on that I think eventually earned a scholarship at Pittsburgh and actually played in 32 games this past season. Like, can handle the basketball, shot it pretty well this past year from deep. It's kind of interesting having guards and wings from the Big East and the ACC. So it's an interesting play. And I'll be curious to see, like, as somewhat of a test study, like how it works out this season.
I'm very curious to see it as well, because Radford, as we know, they've always been a slow, controlled team. They were last year. They always were under Mike Jones, a team that really hung their head on defense. And on top of that, they also do wind up bringing in a gentleman from Murray State and Quan Smith, who wound up seeing some starts during the 2019-20 season as well. So a very good recruiting haul for them. And speaking of good recruiting hauls, how about UNC Asheville? They're going to be a little bit new look this season. They do wind up losing a few players from the backcourt. As LJ Thorpe and Quay Kimball both wound up shooting over 50% from three-point range in true road games last season. That's insane. But the big thing for UNC Asheville, they bring back Drew Pember. He wound up getting just no playing time whatsoever at Tennessee. Comes in 15.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3 blocks, shoots 35.5% from 3. He's a 6'10" all-conference performer. He was flat-out tremendous for this team. And now along with that, you're bringing Caleb Burgess, a guy that two seasons ago at Hofstra put up 5.5 assists per game. Alex Caldwell, he shot 38% from 3 at NC Central. You bring in Fletcher Abey, who wound up sitting out last season. Tajon Jones, he is going to be returning as well. So I take a look at UNC Asheville. It's a team that I feel like we talk about every single year that, oh, are they going to break out? Are they going to break out? Well, I'm going to ask the same question that I've asked you on this podcast the last few years. Is this finally the time for UNC Asheville to break out?
You know what? Let's just go for it. They lost a ton of close games last season too, including a game that I called at High Point back in early February. It was an overtime game, and like Asheville should have won it three different times. And John Michael Wright just pulled, I mean, three shots out of nowhere to basically just like come back and get it to overtime and win the game for High Point. That's about as frustrated as I've seen Mike Morrell, Asheville's head coach, after a game. I felt bad for him. It's tough sledding sometimes, man. But Drew Pember was awesome. I mean, I think he was the best player in the league last year. There really aren't like that many guys, especially in the Big South, that can shoot and rebound and block like he can. You know what I mean? 28% usage rate, shot 36% from deep, 86% from the line, 55% on twos, 20 dunks, 63% shooting at the rim, 21% defensive rebounding rate, 10% block rate. There just aren't a lot of like 6'9", 6'10 guys that can both protect the rim like Drew Pember can and shoot like he can. And he's not a statue. Like, he's mobile. You can throw it to him at the elbow. Like, they run some sets through him too. You know what I mean? So to have a guy like that is huge. And so I think you can kind of see the vision for Asheville and Mike Morrell, right? Which is like, you're going to try to continue to play four out around Pember and occasionally get to some five out looks. Tajon Jones back, like one of the best tall wing shooters in the Big South going on basically 4 years now. And then you bring in some other guys that can spread the floor and shoot. And then hopefully let guys like Caldwell and Pember, let those guys work and see if you can get some slash and kick going that way. Again, I think the vision's easy. And have a guy like Doc Battle back is also big. Just as a guy that has been a staple of this program the last couple of years. Trent Stephanie's like one of the best on ball. I mean, the offense is not quite there. Every once in a while, he shows the ability to like spin, get downhill and attack. Like, he's pretty quick for a guard, but really he's at his best defensively as like a point of attack defender and the guy that can really give Morrell the ball pressure that he's looking for. So there's a lot of good pieces on this roster, including the guy that, I mean, unless Brian Antoine is like, you know, fully healed and ready to roll, a guy like Drew Pember is probably going to be the best player in the league again. I mean, we'll see what guys like Justin Gainey do or Zach Austin does, but Pember looks legit. At times, it does feel like this team like kind of missed its window a little bit. Like, it does feel like last year was supposed to be it, and it's going to be tough to part ways with LJ Thorpe, who led the team in assist rate, led the team in usage rate last season, so they're going to have to find other guys to take on that playmaking role. But to have Pember, to have these shooters back. Tajon Jones, experienced, skilled wing that can really fill it up. I like the pieces here. So I'm saying this is kind of like perhaps a breakthrough season for the Bulldogs.
I've been high on the Bulldogs the last few seasons. They've had a lot of heartbreaking losses. Perhaps this is the year where they wind up busting out, as we do have Brian Geisinger joining me right here on the Big South Preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops. And when it comes to Campbell, oh boy, this is a team that they wind up losing their top player in Cedric Henderson, wound up just a few days ago deciding that he is going to be heading to Arizona. And I felt like last year was really their window with all the juniors and seniors on the roster. Now, they do wind up bringing back two out of their top five scorers, as they're going to have Ricky Clemens back. They're going to have Jesus Cavallaro back as well. But you wind up losing Messiah Thompson as well. I believe that Jordan Whitfield is out of eligibility. This is a team that I thought last year they really needed to bust through. They've got a good distinct style, one of the slowest teams out there in all of college basketball. They do a good job of being able to lock down on defense. But with that said, I take a look at Campbell, and I feel like this is a team that they should be in the middle of the Big South. I really felt like last year was their time to strike, and they just couldn't wind up getting it done.
Yeah, they had some injury issues last season to deal with. That was tough. You know, Josh Lussain, who's like a really solid, like, you know, front court playmaker that at times has shown the ability to stretch the floor and shoot. And they run a lot of stuff, like, you know, Princeton point series, high post offense. And I think Lussain, like, I covered the Duke Campbell game last season in Durham. He did not play in that game. Like, they played Duke tough. They basically played Mark Williams, who's going to be, you know, a top 20 pick in the draft next week. They basically played Mark Williams off the court in that game. They still lost, but like, to go into Cameron and to man up against guys like Paolo Banchero and Wendell Moore Jr. and Trevor Keels and Mark Williams was pretty impressive. I know conference play, not great, so-so, 8-8. They're just losing a ton of guys. It's crazy for me to see a guy like Cedric Henderson ending up at Arizona. Like, I remember in the 2019-2020 season, I called a Campbell-Hampton game. So, like, just like doing like the film and the numbers dive for Campbell ahead of that game and being like, wow, this Cedric Henderson guy, like, he looks pretty good. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, and, you know, he's getting ready to play for Tommy Lloyd out in the desert with the Wildcats. It's crazy, you know, how the portal has just, like, flattened everything out. And it was nice to see Henderson have, like, a bounce-back season shooting the basketball from deep after struggling two seasons ago in the you know, the year that was really plagued with COVID. So it's going to be tough. You mentioned Messiah Thompson. Like, he was always just like a really, really solid offensive piece for this team. Whitfield, a guy that could really shoot the basketball. I'm not crazy about the pieces they bring back. Lussain is good. Cavallaro, also good, like another front court guy that can score and pass and shoot a little bit. I just don't know what to make of the guard play, honestly, just given how much turnovers come there the last couple of years. Kevin McKean's a good coach. He can scheme up offense. They're tough to prepare for, but there's just a lot of production headed out the door, unfortunately.
Yeah, there really is. It's going to be very tough for them. And this is just one of the toughest jobs in all of college basketball. I do not envy Quentin Farrell. Trying to be able to recruit to Presbyterian is very tough, but they wind up losing their top scorer this offseason in Rayshon Harrison. They wind up losing Brandon Younger, and this is a bunch that they wind up going 4-12 in conference. And even worse than that, out of 358 D1 teams, they were 352nd in terms of three-point shooting percentage. They shot 27% as collective. They don't return a single guy that shot more than 32.5% from three-point range. Now, I will say they do wind up bringing in someone from the D2 level that was at Anderson College in Crosby James that shot 45.5% from three. Maybe that winds up turning things, but I think they're Presbyterian bound for another one of those bottom two spots in the conference.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, someone like Trevon Reddish, who I was kind of intrigued by a couple of seasons ago at the College of Charleston when I was doing like Grant Riller draft study, like Reddish is a guy that I thought had, you know, popped on film a little bit for them at times that season, but just hasn't really quite translated. And yeah, Presbyterian, I mean, they were really just truly one of the worst offenses in all Division I basketball last season, outside the top 330 in effective shooting, just inside the top 300 in terms of adjusted offensive efficiency. To lose a guy like Rayshon Harrison is tough. I don't know. This league can be a little unforgiving at times. Yeah, this season, it was a really tough close to the year. Like, they were kind of okay, like, through maybe early February, I want to say. And then the last month of the season was just kind of a disaster. I think they won just one game. Yeah, after they beat Radford February 5th, they won just one game over a bad Charleston Southern team. So it's tough, and there's a bit of an uphill rebuild in Clinton, South Carolina for this roster.
Yep, it is going to be an uphill battle for them as we do. Brian Geisinger joining me right here on the Big South Preview, and we got one other team to cover, and they've won three games in conference the last 2 years. I like Barclay Radebaugh. I've interviewed him once or twice. He's a great guy. It has not went well for Charleston Southern the last 2 years. Now, good news is it really can't go any further downhill from here, but you can tell that it was just tough uphill sledding for this team. They do wind up bringing back a lot of the pieces from last season, but they don't really bring in too many notable guys. They're going to be bringing in someone like an RJ Duart, who wound up being at Appalachian State. He's someone at 6'9", could be able to give this team a few rebounds. And I do think that they're going to do better than the 1-15 that they wound up putting up last season, but I think it's going to be another long year for Charleston Southern with A&M Presbyterian competing for that bottom spot in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, it was always going to be tough for them after they lost Flanders Fleming. I mean, you know, you're out. They struggled even with Fleming 2 seasons ago, you know, winning just 3 games. And here they are. They're able to double their win total. And they still finish, you know, 1-15 in the Big South, 6-25 overall. And some of the wins, you know, not the most impressive, you know, Johnson and Wales, Bob Jones, Tarleton State. It's a tough time. Barclay Radebaugh is like a pretty good coach, but the roster is just in a pretty depleted state at the moment. I'm curious to see if someone like Khalik Chavez, you know, can he improve his game? I mean, he was like a decent score for them a season ago. We'll see if he can add anything more to the mix. He was really good in conference play for them, shot above 39%. So can they squeeze a little bit more out of Chavez? Like, does he have a leap in him? Offensively, you mentioned Duhart. I'm intrigued by him. Up front, someone like Claudel Harris Jr., you know, another guy that should be able to give them some scoring. Emery Knox is someone that a couple of years ago I thought had the chance to kind of like improve and become a guy that could really be a piece for them. But last season, kind of a lost year for him. You know, played only 19 games and struggled shooting the ball from every level of the court. It's a tough spot for them. Yeah, I think that you have to hope that a guy like Chavez or Harris, like, can those guys make big, big jumps? And can a guy like Duhart come in and really help them up front?
They also bring in RJ Johnson. That should be able to help from Holy Cross. I think we should see a little bit more than one conference win for Charleston Southern moving forward. And Brian, I think moving forward, we're going to be seeing a lot of great work from you, because I know that you do a great job with the NBA draft, and now it's getting to your time of the year. We're going to be seeing the NBA draft coming up in a little bit over 7 days. I know that you do an amazing job taking a look at the NBA with the Charlotte Hornets as well as the BuzzBeat podcast. You do some work over there at ACC Sports Network. You're a man that during the season, you've done a great job the last few years taking a look at the Big South as well. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just what you've got all on tap in general.
Follow me on Twitter at bgeis_bird. You said at the start of the pod, but at bgeis_bird on Twitter. All kinds of film breakdowns, stat breakdowns, links to articles. If you're intrigued by, you know, what the ACC is up to, I'm doing a lot of sort of like season preview stuff already, looking at incoming transfers and freshmen coming into the league, and sort of some expectations for some of the best returners in the league, like Jaquavion Smith at NC State, but also trying to project out what some of the newcomers will look like Grant Basile coming in from Wright State to Virginia Tech. Oh, I'm blanking on. He's coming in from Ohio to
Ben Vanderplas.
Thank you. Ben Vanderplas is a guy that I really liked, even going back 2 seasons ago when he was playing with Jason Preston. Was coming in to play at Virginia. So all kinds of like projection pieces. Marcus Hammond, who's coming in from Niagara to Notre Dame. So breaking down film, looking at numbers, and trying to project how those guys will fit into different systems there. So accsports.com, the ACC Analytics tab, is where you can find all of those breakdowns. And yeah, the BuzzBeat podcast, if you're interested to know about the Hornets, the upcoming draft, free agency, sort of like the NBA through the lens of the Charlotte Hornets, you can find the BuzzBeat podcast at BuzzBeat Pod on Twitter and any of your podcast feeds too.
And Brian does an amazing job taking a look at, as I like to say, all levels of basketball. He's joined me quite a bit on this podcast, always delivers the goods, and a man that does a great job taking a look at the Big South, as he did today right here on the Big South Preview Edition of Coast to Coast Hoops. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. And now it is that time of the podcast. I give you my projector or finish for the Big South right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of VSiN Family Podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Epps-Peters, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Great to be able to get Brian Geisinger on the program. He's done a great job the last few years as the color commentator for High Point Men's Basketball. Top of that, does a great job covering the NBA and NBA Draft on the BuzzBeat Podcast along with the ACC. So the man, as I always like to say, he covers all forms of basketball, and it is always a pleasure to be able to get him aboard. A big thanks to him. Brought the goods today. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you my projector or finish for the Big South, as I mentioned before, because I'm not doing the news and notes of college basketball from Wednesday. I'll do Wednesday and Thursday's news and notes tomorrow, so have no fear. You'll be caught up on your transfer portal news. Give you guys all the goods with that regard. And as per usual, if you ever do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, at @unit_D1 on Twitter or a Apple Podcast review of 5 stars. We'll get it done there. But let's go through the conference, rank these teams 1 through 10. And at number 10, it's actually relatively tough between Presbyterian and Charleston Southern. But I'm actually going to wind up going with Presbyterian because this team out of 358 D1 teams, they were 357th last season in three-point shooting percentage. And losing Rayshon Harrison, that is just really the death nail for this team. 17 points, right in the pocket of about a steal per game. He was able to do a good job of being able to dole out the ball. Now with him out of the fold, you just really don't have much with regards to this program. They were able to win 12 games last season, and that's the most that they've had in the 3 years of this coaching regime under Quentin Farrell. They brought in a few guys via the transfer portal that I don't think are necessarily going to be able to do a whole heck of a lot for this team. More or less JUCO transfers, because the one guy that has like really any NCAA experience is Crosby James. He shot 45.5% from three, but and Anderson College last season, but they don't return a single guy that shot above 63.9% of the free throw line and had at least one free throw attempt last season. That's an issue. Their top returning three-point shooter, Kobe Stewart, he shot 32.5% from three with 5.3 points per contest. You've got one guy in Winston Hill who's able to give you 6.5 rebounds per game, and that is about it. I mean, it is very bare bones with this team. The team that I'm going to mention next, they at the very least have a little bit more returning, so dead last in my projector of finish, and it's going to be grody with their offense. They're going to be one of the worst teams in all of college basketball, and unfortunately, it's Presbyterian. I think Charleston Southern, who won a combined three conference games the last 2 years, they rise up just at that. I've got them number 9 in my projector of finish. Barclay Radebaugh is actually a very solid coach. He's just been able to do nothing these last 2 years, and Claudel Harris Jr. was someone that, as a freshman, showed some promise. 10.5 points, right around 4 boards per game, a part-time starter, shot right around 33% from 3. Talik Chavez, on right around 8 threes per contest, he was able to knock down 36.5% of them. He wanted coming in from Iona, so this is a program that they've been looking at the transfer portal a little bit more, and they've been able to attract a little bit of talent. RJ Duart, he's going to be coming in from Appalachian State. He's a guy with a 6'9 frame, wound up averaging right around 3 rebounds per contest, so I think that he could make a little bit of an impact for this team. You also do wind up bringing in someone who wound up actually starting out there for a conference as well in RJ Johnson. During the 2020-21 season, he had 8.5 points, shot 34% from 3, 4.3 assists per contest. While he was playing for Holy Cross out there in the Patriot League, last season was limited to just 7 games. But they also bring in Trace Berry, a guy that was ranked as a top 25 recruit in the class of 2020 by 24/7 Sports, as a guy that could be a relatively solid combo guard. He winds coming in from Rhode Island, so at the very least, you've got something. And Amaje Dot, he wound up sitting out after transferring in from UNC Wilmington last season during the 2019-20 season. He's a guy that wound up having 5 points, 4.5 boards, a block per contest. So I think that this team is going to be a little bit more solid down low. They need to work on a little bit of everything, but I do think that with Barclay Radebaugh at the helm, I do think that this is going to be a team that is going to be able to improve just a tad from the 30.8% three-point shooting that they had last season that was in the bottom 75 in all of college basketball. I do think that strides are going to be taken forward with this program. So I've got them number 9 in my projector of finish. And number 8, just an unfortunate situation with Campbell. You lose Cedric Henderson. You wind up losing also Jordan Whitfield. He's just out of eligibility in general. Your 2 double-figure scores. Now, you do bring back Jesus Calilero. He's a 6'8" sort of point forward. He had 9.5 points, 5.5 boards, was able to chip in there nearly 4 assists per game. I'm very bullish on what he's going to be able to do this season. I think that is going to be very beneficial for them. But what else do you really have with this team? They bring in Devin Dunn. He winds up coming in from Fairleigh Dickinson. Shot right around 41.8% from three-point range during the 2020-21 season. That three-point shooting wound up regressing last season, but he's a capable guy. They also wind up bringing in an Alabama State transfer that was able to do a relatively solid job in Juan Renna. He was able to put up right around 8.5 points per game, but the problem is he's a one-trick pony, and they don't have a lot of size to start with. Now, they've got a very distinct style out of 358 D1 teams. They were 348th with regards to total possessions per game. You just weren't able to get a lot last season out of Jamaica's Monsekis as well. He was someone that wanted coming in from, I believe, the country of Greece during the 2020-21 season. Wanted seeing some starts with the team. He had some promise. Last year, he wound up taking a big, giant step back, was limited a little bit by injury. Joshua Lusane, him being out of the fold due to injury last season, that wound up hurting them. And then you have Messiah Thompson wind up transferring out of the fold. He wound up giving the team right on 8 points, 2 assists per contest. Not a great three-point shooter, but a guy that could wind up getting to the free throw line as well. Campbell, they just don't really have guys that are able to get to the charity stripe anymore. They were in the bottom 35 in all of college basketball in terms of free throw shooting makes on a season, and they shot as a collective 68% at the free throw line, and I believe that they've got one player that wanted consistently getting to the free throw line for more than one free throw per game that wound up shooting above 70% the charity stripe. So I think that's going to be a little bit tough for Campbell. All the losses have them at number 8 with regards to my projector of finish. At number 7, I'm going to be going with High Point. I think it might be a little bit of a low point with the team, though. They finished 7th last season. Also keep in mind that you wind up having Hampton and North Carolina A&T out of the fold, or else they probably would be finishing
a little bit higher, but it's just tough to replace Shawn Michaels, right? 18.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3.5 assists per game. This guy was an absolute menace. Now, what they do have also is one of the top players out there in this conference. As you saw last season with Zach Austin, he put up monster numbers, 14.5 points, 8 boards, 2.2 blocks per game, 1.3 steals per game, and he's able to shoot threes. He shot 6.5 threes per game, shot right around 32.5% from three. Not necessarily a terroristic three-point shooting rate, but when you're able to get that along with all the blocks, that is solid. And for High Point, what they also did a great job of, three-point shooting defense. They held opponents to sub-30% from distance. Now, a little bit of a passing of the torch when it comes to the coaching spot, Tubby Smith. He winds up passing it down to his son, Gigi, who he actually did wind up spending 5 seasons at Loyola Maryland, so got a little bit of seasoning there, but never wound up finishing above 500 when it was at Loyola Maryland out there in the Patriot League. So a little bit of an issue there. Not necessarily the world's greatest track record, but Bryant Randleman is someone that I do like. He's able to give the team 3.5 assists per game. You've got to figure that he's going to take up a lot of the ball handling, and they really just need to be able to hit on some of their transfers. They bring in Armand Harvey, who just did not wind up putting up big numbers at Coastal Carolina, but was a little bit of a touted guy. And then on top of that, you wind up going to Minnesota, bring in a sparingly used guy, and you're going to expect him to sort of be what Drew Pember was last season over there at UNC Asheville in Abdul Thiam. He's someone that wound up just not getting any playing time whatsoever at Minnesota, but someone who's 6'3", coming out of high school, he was a very solid shooter, so I think that is going to be intriguing to find. High Point, they've got a lot of question marks. I do think that they're going to be able to do enough to be able to avoid the seller in the conference, but I just don't see them elevating back up to the top half of the conference. So I've got them number 7 on my projector or finish. At number 6, going to be going with USC Upstate. Upstate does wind up taking a big loss with Bryson Mazzone, but on top of that, Josh Aldrich being out, that is going to be hurting them. And for USC Upstate, just a team in general that they're going to need a little bit more rebounding in order to be able to stay towards even, I would say, the middle half of the conference, because this is a bunch of last year. They wound up losing the rebound battle by about 4 rebounds per game when it was all said and done at the end of the season. But we were talking about it with Jordan Ganey. I mean, he averaged 13.5 points, right around 1.2 steals per game. He shot 49.3% from three-point range. Just absolutely ridiculous. That was in the top 5 of all qualifying players in college basketball. So that is going to be big for them. They also do wind up bringing in Che Evans. He wound up missing the 2020-21 season. Was a guy that 24/7 Sports rated as a top 250 prospect in the class of 2020. Spent a little bit of time at San Diego State. Mysa Goodlow is going to be looking to build off the right around 8.5 points, 4 boards, and 2.5 assists they had in the final 18 games of last season. Kadarius Smith is going to be able to give this team a little bit of something down low, but the big question mark for this team is the post. They don't really have a lot of that. Floyd Ridio, who wanted coming in from South Carolina State, had a little bit of bust-a-rooney last season after he averages 2.3 points per game while he was in the MEAC during the 2020-21 season. 7.5 points per contest on 42.5% from three-point range. I see some positive progression there. Backcourt is good. Front court, very questionable. So USC Upstate, they're clocking in number 6 with regards to my projector or finish. At number 5, we're going to be going with Gardner Webb. And Gardner Webb, they are going to be taking their losses. Damarian Williams being out of the fold, that absolutely kills this program, as he was their team's top scorer and really the head of the snake for a team that was one of the best at being able to play defense in all of college basketball. They were in the top 15 in opponents' three-point shooting percentage. They just did a good job in general of just sucking the life out of teams, and they were able to put up right around 4.5 blocks per game. And the good news is both of those main guys in Lodovich do feel, along with Kareem Reed, they are going to be back after they combine to average right around 3 blocks per contest, but you also lose Lance Terry. He, along with Williams, combined to average darn near 30 points per contest. You wound up having Williams shoot 39% from 3, 35% from distance for Lance Terry. So big giant issues there. Now, they are going to be bringing in Quest Aldrich. He was at Belmont Abbey at the D2 level. He was able to put up right around 14 points, 5 boards, 4.2 assists per game, and shot 40% from 3-point range. And then they invest in Caleb Robinson, who at Catawba was able to put up 8.5 points, 6.5 boards per game. So they really went down to the non-D1 level. DQ Nicholas, he was at Southeast Missouri State. He wound up having right around 8 points per game on 41.5% 3-point shooting last season. So they have been able to add a couple guys. They're going to be able to do a solid job out there in the backcourt. I don't necessarily know who is going to be running the point for this team. They're going to be solid down low. The backcourt, though, bringing in all these young guys, that is a big, giant TBD with this team. So that is why I've got them number 5 in my projector finish, and still will likely be the number 1 team on defense in this conference. Have my question marks with regards to the offense. Now we wind up getting into the meat of this. Number 4, we are going to be going with Radford. And with Radford, I mean, if all things wind up working out, they could wind up winning the entire conference. But the big question mark with this team, what are you going to be able to get out of Brian Antoine, a former top 20 recruit at 6'5", watching him in high school while I was over there in the great state of New Jersey? He was a guy that was able to fill it up. He was able to shoot. He was able to guard multiple positions. He was able to dole out the ball. This guy is the total package. If he's able to put it together, look out below, because I mean, this is a Radford team that they always just play at a very slow tempo. They're always in the bottom 50 with regards to possessions per game. And Villanova, I mean, for all the efficiency that that offense has had, they're typically a little bit of a slow team. So he's actually used to this sort of system, but you're going to need to just have that one go-to guy. You do wind up bringing back Josiah Jeffers, who wound up putting up 10 points, 3 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. So your stat sheet suffer, he is back in the fold for this team. That is going to be absolutely massive for them. But this is just a bunch in general that is not necessarily strong on the glass. You've got Shaquan Jules, who wound up averaging 4.6 rebounds per game. He is pretty much a team stop rebounder for this bunch, and he's the only guy returning that had more than 3.2 rebounds per game. Now, I will say this, they actually had a little bit of a positive rebound margin last season, but that was probably a little bit more due to the fact that the Big South in general doesn't have a lot of supreme rebounding. And for Radford, it was a bunch of last year, 317th in terms of three-point shooting percentage. They had a tough time just being able to take care of the ball in general. Now, they did wind up forcing their turnovers, right around 13.5 turnovers per contest out of this team as well. And they bring in Madao Niang, who is 6'9". He winds coming in from Florida Atlantic. Really wanted riding the bench the last few seasons, but first few years on campus was able to average right around 3.5 rebounds per game. And Solomon Kurosi, he winds up coming in after he wound up spending a few seasons at Richmond, so that is going to be helpful. And Daquan Smith, I think a lot of people forget about the fact that he at Murray State wound up averaging right around 7.5 points, 3.5 assists per game during the 2019-20 season. And Omochi Sakuto, who was talked about by our good friend Brian Geisinger, he comes in after he wound up seeing right around 12 starts last season for Pittsburgh. So they brought in some good transfers. Still a lot of question marks with Radford, though, which is why in my projector or finish, I've got them clocking in at number 4. At number 3, we're going to be going with the Longwood Lancers. As Rick Flair would always say, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And I do think that Longwood still going to be a relatively solid team this season. They bring back Deshaun Wade, who was able to put up 11.8 points per contest, shot 44.8% from three-point range. Isaiah Wilkins, 12.5 points, 6.2 boards. He shot right around 39% from three, but it cannot be understated how big of a loss it is that you wind up losing your main scorer and really the heart and soul of this team from a season ago, as winding up losing to Georgia, Mr. Justin Hill, who wound up putting up 14 points per game, is a big blow for this team. He also wound up having 4 assists per game, which means that with Jordan Perkins most likely being out of eligibility, that puts him a little bit in a bind with regards to who's going to be doling out the ball. Zach Watson along Leslie and Curium, these two guys, they're going to need to step up a little bit, and they should get Michael Christmas back in the fold as well. It is Christmas for the team, as he wound transferring in from James Madison last season. He really did not wind up seeing the floor at all, but while he was at James Madison during his freshman year, 2019-20 season, 6 points, 4.5 rebounds per game as a 6'6", a little bit of a joker player, so that should be able to help them out a little bit. And then they wind up bringing in Waylon Napper, who should be able to help out those point guard woes that I wanted mentioning a little bit earlier. 8 points, 4 assists per contest, along with a seal out there in Conference USA. Nicholas Alim, who wound up putting up right around 8.5 points, 3.5 boards per game. He also enters from UT Arlington, so I think that it's going to be a solid defensive team. I don't know if you're going to be able to see as many open looks for Wilkins along with Wade, though, with now having Justin Hill on the fold. So I do have a couple question marks there. As a result, Longwood, my number 3 team in my projector or finish. At number 2, I'm going to be going with UNC Asheville. I feel like I am a sucker for this team every single year, and it's like putting out the cheese for the rat, and I am going to be the rat that winds up taking the cheese once again on this team, because Drew Pember is someone who's 6'10", originally began his career at Tennessee, and he tore it up last season. 15.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3 blocks, shot 35.5% from 3-point range. Now you lose LJ Thorpe, and when you talk about all the incredible stuff that LJ Thorpe wound up doing, he wound up putting up 14 points, 3.8 boards, 3.5 assists per game, but he shot 56.5% from 3-point range on the road. That is just absolutely ridiculous right there. They bring in Caleb Burgess. He last season was just a little bit of an afterthought for Hofstra. 2 seasons ago, he was one of the best players in that conference in terms of being able to dole out the ball. 8.8 points, 3.3 boards, 5.5 assists per game. Saw his minutes slash last season. They bring in Alex Caldwell, a little bit of a sharpshooter who made 38% of his threes at NC Central. You're also going to be bringing back a couple more ancillary pieces, as well as Cody Jude. It looks like he's going to be utilizing his final year of eligibility that he's got an option on. 6.5 points per game. Never really a rebounder at 6'9", but a guy that's able to pop some threes. Jamin Battle has always been battling for this team, right around 8 points. He's able to give you 4 boards per contest. Someone that does a good job with regards to a little bit of on-ball defending. And then Tyjon Jones, he wound up shooting 39.5% from 3-point range, 13 points, 5.5 boards. He's a nice stat sheet stuffer for this team. I like their backcourt. Losing LJ Thorpe, that is very, very tough for this team. But if they're able to get some of these guys, even like a Silas Mason, who was a relatively highly touted guy, did not wind up really taking off in his first 2 years. If he's able to rein it in at 6'7", just give this team a little bit more rebounding, because other than Pember, you really didn't have a lot with that this last season. They wound up getting out-rebounded by nearly 2 boards per contest. Should really bode well for a team that was in the top 10 in all of college basketball in terms of 3-point shooting and defense. So UNC Asheville, number 2 in my projector or finish. And at number 1, I'm going to be going with Winthrop. Mark Prosser really did a good job of being able to rein it in with this team. They had a rough go of it in the first half of the season, but as the season wound up going along, they were able to pick up some wins. They went 14-2 in the Big South, and they bring back Corey Hightower. He wound up following Prosser from Western Carolina, 12 points per game, 5.5 boards, 2 assists. I believe that he wound up beginning his career actually with the Blue Oaks of Presbyterian, and someone that wound up letting it fly at 40% from 3 as a 6'7" combo player. That is going to be darn near unguardable this season. And on top of that, I do think that Sincere McMahon, who wound up being a little bit of an afterthought last season, he wound up putting up right around 5 points per contest, shot 38% from 3. He's going to be thrusted into a bigger role because you wind up losing Drew Bugs. You wind up losing quite a few of those guys like TJ Burns, Patrick Good, that were so solid for the team last season. And losing Burns, while it does wind up hurting, he always wound up having conditioning issues, so he was unable to stay out there on the floor overly much. And then you take a look at what is going to be coming in. Kayson Harrison, he wound up shooting 48.4% from 3-point range with 13 points, 4 assists, 1.5 steals per game 2 seasons ago. And Lamar last year, it was a little bit of a downer for him. But they also bring in Isaiah Wilson. He should be able to come in from Richmond and be able to give the team a little bit of production. He wound up making 15 starts a season ago. Former top 10 recruit in his state, according to 24/7 Sports. So I do think that there's a little bit of untapped potential there. Losing Josh Corbin, that does wind up hurting them a little bit. But I still think that there's a little bit of upside with Chris Claxton. He has been able to make for the team 27 starts in 3 seasons. He really had his best season as a freshman with right around 7 points, 4 boards per game. He's a 6'7" guy that doesn't necessarily stretch a floor, but I do think that he can maybe take over a little bit and sort of try to piecemeal a little bit of what DJ Burns wound up leaving at the table. And then I think that a lot of people wind up forgetting about Michael Anuma as well. He's going to be utilizing his 5th year, someone who has always been a steady Eddie guy, averaging between 6.4 and 7.7 points per game in every one of his seasons at Winthrop. Last year, shot 37.5% from 3, having all that explosiveness out there on the backcourt, having Corey Hightower, who's able to stretch out the floor. That has me very impressed with this Winthrop team. I think that Mark Prosser going to lead Winthrop back to the promised land of the NCAA tournament and a Big South title. I've got them number 1 with regards to my projector or finish. And now we'll wrap things up for the Big South preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Find that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to Brian Geisinger, who joined me in the second segment over there at ACC Sports. He's done a lot of work doing color commentary for High Point games throughout season, so it was great to be able to get him aboard, and it was great to have you aboard throughout the offseason, giving you guys these conference previews and everything that we're seeing in college basketball, and then once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I appreciate you guys joining me today. I'll chat with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.